This morning, we're going to continue our series looking at the armor of God. We finish it today, and then next week, we're going to pick back up into Romans. We're going to finish our series in Romans, and we'll start that next week. But today, we're looking at the sword of the Spirit, at the end of the armor of God. Sword of the Spirit, armor of God. You have to be able to defend. Don't you? It's true in lots of sports. If you like sport, no matter what sport it is, you'll know about attack and defense. You've got to be able to defend. But it's also true in life, isn't it? And I guess in life, or particularly in sport, you might score a few points at times. You might have a few little wins. But if you keep letting in goals, if you keep taking blows, you're going to lose. Sooner or later, you will lose. And similarly, in life, we have to be able to defend ourselves. You've got to be able to defend yourself. I'm not talking about defending yourself in a fight. I'm not talking about fisticuffs or anything like that. But to kind of prepare and protect yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We've thought of the armor of God. You have to have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. They are all defensive things. They're all about the security of your life, stopping the lies and the tricks of the devil, standing in faith and not in your own strength. Do you ever feel like sometimes it's like, I just don't know what to do? It's just so unbelievably difficult. When we feel like that, it's more often because we're trying to work it out in our own strength. We're trying to work it out in our own logic, our own thinking. How am I going to get through this particular situation? Whereas the armor of God is about going, no, I'm not going to stand and defend this. I'm not going to try and work this out in my own strength, in my own knowledge. But I'm going to do that in the power and the grace and the strength and the wisdom of God. And so it's about defensive things. But now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 is where we are. Ephesians 6, verse 17. But now, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword, the offensive part of the armor. Now, we're told straight away that the sword is the word of God. The sword is the Bible. And so whether you've got a paper one, whether it's on your phone, whatever it is, it's a sword, it's the word of God, it's an offensive thing that God has given us. Not offensive, but offensive. And the sword that they would have pictured here would have been short. It would have perhaps only been so long, perhaps more what we might call a dagger, and good for close combat. Now, some of you may at this point be thinking, well, that sounds a bit scary, a bit frightening. Why is the Bible referenced as being like a dagger? I don't want to go and fight anybody. But it's maybe using this language to think a little bit differently. So let's think of it being something that is here to encourage us, okay? For we need to know, if you do not know this already, we need to know that the devil is real. God is real, 100%. The devil is real, 100%. And we need to know that. The devil is going to try and trip you up. The devil is going to try and catch you out. The devil is going to try and get you to do something that you don't want to do. But God has given you a means with not to just defend against that, but to push back against that. Okay, so belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, shield of faith, shoes of peace, they're all things to defend ourselves against the attacks of the evil one. And the Bible, the sword, the word of God is a means of which we can push back. We can defend. We can push him away. Now, this equally doesn't mean that the devil is lurking for you behind every corner, okay? He's not the bogeyman, all right? So don't worry about, peek around there, peek around there. It's the devil there. It's not, I'm going to go to bed tonight. I better look under the bed to see where the devil is lurking for me. Now, don't overplay his part in your life. Know that he is real. And so God gives us a sword and the spirit with which to push him back. But don't overplay. Don't go to bed tonight worrying and fretting that the devil's out there to try and get you. Okay? Because he is, but God is with you. God is for you. Nothing will come against you. Now, perhaps at this point as well, we've got to say that many of us will be familiar with the phrase Bible bashing. Anyone heard that? Be a Bible basher. Some of you may have been called a Bible basher. It's not a good or a helpful picture, is it? It makes us uncomfortable. It's the kind of the notion of, here's my Bible, and I'm just going to hit you with it until you kind of submit to it, okay? It's not good, is it? It's not helpful. It makes us uncomfortable, and it should make us uncomfortable. The Bible is not something with which to bash somebody with until they surrender to what it is that you think it says for them. The Bible is not something that you beat someone with, but it is full of truth and it is full of conviction. And so in that sense, it is. It's a sort of a weapon. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The word of God is alive and it's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing soul and spirit and joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." Okay, now, if you read the Bible, and I'd encourage you to do that, okay? If you read the Bible, it will lift you up. It will bless you. It will strengthen you. It will encourage you. And at times, it will cut you right open and convict you. It will shake you. And it will change you if you let it. Sometimes you kind of read something in the Bible and think, wow, that's me. It's been talking about me. It convicts us. It challenges us. It wants to change us and to shape us. Have you ever seen a stonemason? They've got a big lump of stone and they've got a chisel and a hammer and they're crafting something out of it, chipping it away little bit by bit to make something beautiful. And the Spirit of God, with the sword of God, the word of God, is trying to get to work on your life, to chisel away the edges, to make it smooth, to make something beautiful. God wants to craft something beautiful of your life. And he wants to use the Spirit of God with the word of God in order to do that. And we're therefore going to feel it. We're going to feel it. We're going to notice that God is at work in our life. The word of God will cut through your life and reveal it to you. It's like, as we've thought in Romans, it's like holding a mirror up to yourself. It will show you who you are. It will show you what you're like, what you think about, how you behave, how you should react and behave and function with others. It's like a mirror. And then when it shows something that shouldn't be there, it will cut it off. It will try and chisel it away and knock it out of your life and take it away from you. Bad habits, things that you shouldn't be doing, things that you're struggling with, it will show them all to you. So to take them out of your life, because God wants you to become more like Jesus. So he chisels off the edges. It will, the word of God will teach you and guide you. It will encourage you and correct you. And note its intent is to correct you and not to judge you, okay? If you read something in the Word of God and think, wow, God's judging me. No, he's not judging you. He's trying to correct. He's trying to make things better. Correction is only seen as judgment to those who still love their sin. The author of that quote is unknown, but we know it's truth, don't we? I feel judged by that. Really what we're saying is I don't want to face that. I don't want to give that up. But allow God to correct us. Allow the word of God to correct us and to shape us. So we are also clearly shown here that the word is the choice of the Spirit. Okay, many Christians, and perhaps this is true of you, you want to feel more of the Holy Spirit. You've read about the Holy Spirit, you've heard about the Holy Spirit, and so you want more, to feel more, to have more, confident that there is more. Yet many Christians make the mistake of seeing it as word, the word of God, I read the Bible, or I have the Holy Spirit. But what we see here is it's categorically both. You can't have one without the other. You need the Holy Spirit and you need the word of God. You need the Bible and you need the Spirit. You've got to have both things. If we read the Bible and ignore the Spirit, it's like using a drill without a battery. We're really missing its power. You think, why am I turning this thing? Because the battery's not there. The power's not there. It's not working as effectively. Or if we seek the Spirit in ignorance to the word, then it's like we've got a drill, but with no drill bit in it. We've got nothing to actually do the sharp end of what it's meant to be doing. We need the word of God and the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the sword of the Spirit, and we're to take up the sword of the Spirit. We're to take up the kind of the thing that the Holy Spirit wants to use in our lives. They're inseparable things. The Bible is God's word, not the word of men, but the word of God, and a word that is at work in us. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13 talks about the word of God being at work in us. It's a living thing that seeks to change us from the inside out. The word of God is also living. It's a book of paper and ink or a blue light screen that fits into your pocket. But either hold the living word of God, and for God himself is alive and he's using the living perfect word in our salvation. The living and abiding word of God, 1 Peter 1, verse 23. The living and abiding word of God, that's what you've got. Do we realize that? Do we appreciate that? Do we turn to it and see it as that? Do we wake up in the morning yearning for it? Or do we wake up in the morning and just yearning for coffee or tea or whatever it is? Oh, I need a mug of coffee. With that same yearning to get into the living and abiding word of God, to feel and to come under its power. Sometimes people talk of preachers as gifted communicators, but I'm not so keen on that phrase because I've only got the word of God. I've got nothing else. I've got a mouth and I can string sentences together, but I've got nothing for you except the word of God. I've got nothing. Nothing but Jesus, nothing but his word. I might say something that helps you, but it's got nothing to do with my communication, but everything to do with the mighty word of God. For God's word is not passive, but it's active, it's useful, it's beautiful, and it's trying to get in under our skin and to change our lives that we might become more like Jesus. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open my eyes, that I may see wonderful things in your law." If you don't know what to pray, don't know what to ask of God before picking up the word of God, well, pray that. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. There are wonderful things for us to see in the word of God, and we will see them if our eyes are open to them. If we're open to see, then we will see the wonderful things. And so we need the Spirit to help us to see. We need the power of God in order to reveal the wonder of the word of God. Yeah, we need the power of God in order to make sense of what we read in the word of God. Without the Spirit to empower us, without the Spirit to open our eyes, we shall likely see nothing very wonderful at all. But we'll just read a whole ton of stuff that's quite confusing. We'll see nothing wonderful. We'll get lost in things that we just don't understand. So read the word of God. Read it every day. And ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes that you may see the truth of God in what it's trying to reveal to you in what you read. The Spirit brings the word to life in our lives. It enables it to be the anchor of your soul, the rock upon which you stand, the compass to guide you through trials and sad times. Let it change you. It's meant to. I was talking with somebody this week who said that they've been reading about love your neighbour and thinking, well, that means him or her who lives next door to me. And then they realised it was more than that. It was about everybody. You see, the word of God has got something to say to us that affects the way in which we live our life, that will affect you at 11:30 tomorrow morning. But in order for it to do that, we've got to have the power of God show us what it really means, illuminate it, bring it to life in our lives. Let it be the rock upon which we stand. This is how I'm making my decisions. This is how I'm making my choices. Let it govern your choices. Let it renew your heart and renew your mind. Let it restore your joy and ground you in hope for all that is to come. Build your life upon the morality of God that we find in his word. Embrace the ethics that are in the Bible. Believe what it says about the nature of God, that he is good and gracious and generous and merciful, forgiving, mighty, strong, powerful, creative. The God is all of those things. How do we know he is? Because we read it in his word. We can read it and believe it with the power of the Spirit. Believe what it says about the sinful nature of mankind. For we know that we are sinful and in need of God's forgiveness and mercy because the Bible tells us so. And we read it and we go, oh, is that really talking about me? Yes, it is. It is. And it takes us to that point of kind of that sense of despair of really, am I that bad? Is there really no hope for me? Well, not on your own, no. But then we find in the same word that God sent his son, they called him Jesus. We've been singing about it so beautifully this morning. We know the truth of that because we read it in the word of God. The word is sharp. It's always at work. It's a living book. It has a supernatural power. Charles Spurgeon is one of the greatest preachers to have ever been, and there is an unusual story about his preaching. And this is one of the stories. An aged woman on her deathbed in London told of how she was converted. She displayed a crumpled piece of newspaper that had been torn from a page. On it was an extract from one of Spurgeon's sermons. When asked where she got it, she said it had been used to wrap a gift sent to her by a relative in Australia. As best as we can tell, Spurgeon had preached in London, and after which the sermon was transcribed, it was written down, printed, and put on a ship for the US. When it got in arrival in New York, it was reprinted in a newspaper that eventually shipped across the country to San Francisco. From there, it was taken by ship to Australia, where it was again reprinted in an Australian newspaper. The paper had been thoughtlessly cast aside, only to be taken up and used to wrap a gift that made its way back by ship to London. There, the elderly woman, without suspecting a thing, glanced at the torn page of newspaper and saw written upon it the word of God that Spurgeon had so long ago proclaimed. And it was that word, through the Holy Spirit, that performed its work in saving her heart and granting her eternal life. I've got goosebumps. How good is God? How mighty is his word? His word is living and it is active. The word of God is literally the word of God. It's transformative. It's powerful. So we need to take it and use it and read it and submerse our lives in it so as we can resist the evil one. So that as we can resist, so that as we can push him back. James 4 verse 7 tells us that we resist the devil. If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. How do you resist the devil? Get your heart and your head stuck in the word of God. Seek more of his eye-opening power of the Holy Spirit. Push back. Let's use the sword of the Spirit to do just that. When Jesus was tempted in the desert in Matthew 4, it was not with what we might see as his superpowers with which he fought back the evil one, but with scripture. Jesus quoted scripture back at the devil. And Matthew 4 verse 11 tells us that the devil left him. Jesus used the word of God to push away the evil one. We can do the same, can't we? We can do the same. Push back. Use the word. There is incredible power in the name of Jesus, and there is power in the word of God that too often we leave aside. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but who's going through a difficult time? One or two hands do go up. Sometimes we go through difficult times and we leave the word sat on the bedside table or in the car from when we last went out to church or on a shelf or by the side of the sofa. We just leave it. Don't do that. God has given us the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to stand not in our own strength, but in his. Don't just leave it on the side, but use it. Immerse yourself in it. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. Meditate upon it. Know it as well as you possibly can. Know its truth. Know its reminders. Know its joy and know its hope. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells us so. He's like, Jesus loves me. How do you know that? How do you possibly know that God loves you? Well, I read it in his words. I read it in his words and I feel it in my soul. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. We need to use it in conjunction with the rest of the armor of God. We need the belt of truth. We so desperately need that integrity, don't we? A lot of politicians in the US in the next few months, in their run-up to their election, are going to quote the Bible. Not all of them will have any integrity as they do that. And the word will mean just nothing. Reading the Bible, reading it aloud, isn't like a magic formula. So have truth and integrity and read the power and the hope that is in the word of God. We need the breastplate of righteousness. We need the righteousness of God, which is to be made right with God. It's not just enough to know about God, but you have to be in a right position with God, which means that you have to be forgiven of your sins. How are you forgiven of your sins? Well, you confess them. God, I have sinned against you. Please, will you forgive me? God is faithful to us. He forgives us and he gives his righteousness, which means he makes us good. He makes us fit and ready for the kingdom of God. He makes us present and right for his presence. We need the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible on its own will not save you. Only Jesus can do that. And so we need to be saved. We need the shoes of peace, which is the foundation of the gospel. If we are agitators and aggressive, well, people are not really going to take us very seriously. They're not really going to want to listen to what we have to say. They're not going to want to hear the gospel of which we preach. We need to be people of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. We need the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. We need the full armor of God. And then we need the word of God, the power of the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Paul tells Timothy that the Spirit is ablaze. He is ablaze. And he can't be put out, but he can be stifled, can be quenched. Don't do that. The Spirit is quenched in your life if you ignore him. So don't ignore the whisper, the prompting, the voice of the Spirit. Don't ignore him, but make sure you live in step with him. Live in the word. For the Holy Spirit won't contradict God the Father. It won't contradict what you read in his word. This God the Father has given us the living word in the Bible and the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to read it and use it and understand it and live in it. So take up the sword. Take the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Put the armor on. Put the armor on and pray. Put the armor on, all of it. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace. Shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. Put all the armor on and then pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for one another. Pray for one another with all kinds of requests. Pray for all of the Lord's people and pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray when you're going to work in the morning. Pray when you go to bed at night. Pray when you sit down to eat your dinner. Pray when you wake up in the morning. Pray when you're on your way to school. Pray when you're on your way home from work. Pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray in the Spirit. Seek God to be present and active in your life. Pray for God to be present and active in moving in the life of the person that you sat next to this morning. Maybe take a look to your left and your right. See who sat next to you. Pray for them this week. Pray for them this week. With all kinds of prayers and requests. We need the whole armor of God. We need the word of God. We need the Spirit of God. And then we need to pray. So I'll see you at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. When we're going to do just that. Let me pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the armor. I thank you for what you've given us. Lord, I thank you that you know that we're likely to stumble and to struggle and to find it hard and difficult. And we get so absorbed sometimes in all the problems of life. And so you give us an armor. You give us an armor with which to defend, to stand firm, to stand solid in your hope, in your goodness, in your righteousness, in your faith. Lord, I thank you for that armor. Thank you for what it gives us. What you bless us with. I thank you for the word. Father, forgive us that so often we neglect it. But help us to put a marker in the ground today that says, I will neglect it no more. I will neglect it no more. I'm going to read it. I'm going to immerse myself in it. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to open my eyes to it that I may see wonderful things that are within it. And then I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for my life. I'm going to pray that you would have your way in my life, that I would be your servant. I'd be your hands and feet. And then I'm going to pray for the people in my church, for the person sat to the left of me, the right of me, in front of me and behind me. I'm going to pray for your blessing to be upon them. I'm going to pray that they would know the great power of the Spirit this week, that their eyes would be open to all that you want to show them, all that you want to do in their lives. Lord, help me and help us this week, we pray, to know the strength and the provision of the full armor of God and the ever-present, wonderful, life-transforming power of the Holy Spirit that you have given us in your grace. Help us to live in the good of who you are and all that you have done for us this week and every week. For your glory, we ask. Amen.